Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Top of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Interested in winning a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves? It starts with a $5,000 signing bonus?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Go to chicagowolves.com/sprint to learn how to win the Sprint Power Play Payday. Kenny the Jet Smith sat down with us yesterday, and in a wide-ranging conversation, we began by talking about just how much fun he has in the NBA on TNT.
We have a lot of fun. This is, like you said, been going over 2 decades now, and we've got to see a lot of great moments in sports, in basketball, so and be part of them in a way. A lot of times, people are now connecting what we say to what happens, so it's like, That's pretty cool. So like even as silly as if someone makes a mistake, they say, "Oh, he's shacked it." Like it's all being part of the fabric of the game is always good.
Well, you guys are part of the conversation and part of a give and take and a reaction too. I mean, yeah. Whether it's Joel Embiid and some fairly, I think, fair criticism of how he's played and how the league views him, that's been a big topic of conversation for you guys of late. And I wonder if that's, you know, if you guys check yourself just a little bit before that kind of thing happens,
no.
Or if you believe it is, you know, part of the job.
No, that is the job. You know, there's no checking what your basketball acumen should be. Like for me, it's kind of like I'm never going to question anyone's passion, their heart, or their desire. I can't measure that. But damn, you didn't get on the box 3 times. You shot 8 threes and you missed all. Like I could pull film and describe what that looks like. The other thing that most I think guys and teams at times get offended or they get happy when we talk is like most teams there, let's say the Bulls, they're watching the Bulls. And what can we do to get better as the Bulls?
Bad for your health to watch the Bulls. That's what you really shouldn't do that.
That's
too
what
much.
They're doing. You said it, not me.
Yeah.
I believe it, but I heard you say it. But my job is to watch what Utah is doing, what Denver is doing, like the trends of the league. So I could see like, I don't care what he's doing over there. The trend of the league is not going to allow that to happen. And I think when you're watching your own team, you forget that we're watching the league sometime. Or you appreciate that we're watching the league and go, and when we compliment you, they go, yeah, they see it. They get it. They understand it. So I think that's where we kind of go from. We're not a Bulls fan or a Knicks fan or a Laker fan. We're a basketball fan.
How many teams can reasonably make a case for being able to win this year's championship?
I would say six teams. And you start getting to that Denver number. That's when you start going, oh, okay. And Philly,
Utah,
you know, Denver, Phily, Utah. That's, you know, and then, but you go Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, and then everybody else, you know? And then, but those second three are right there. They're, you know, they're really right there, and they just haven't like made the correct adjustment, you know, like Philadelphia. They haven't made the correct adjustment, you know, and it's easy to see but hard to do unless you're part of the culture to kind of beat it into, like Joel Embiid had that great game. But there has to be someone that's beating that into his mindset every day, and for some reason it's not being this year than it was like it was last year.
What's the most important first step in changing a culture like that? Because I know a lot of Bulls fans would be interested in those first steps, if only they'd take them.
Trust. Like, you have to have a voice that everyone trusts. I know that being part of championship teams and being on an Emmy Award winning show, there's somebody you trust. So when you say something, you're not going out and going, hey, I just got this information. Hey, and you're going out and say, hey, then the assistant coach go, no, they trust the voice. And then they're going to apply it. Then when it doesn't work, I don't mind if you go out and ask people. But there has to be that initial, like, I believe in this, and I'm going to try it, and then everyone, and then that builds a culture of winning, because when it works, then they block out all the outside noise, and then then they start closing doors on everyone. And then they're like, no, we're just listening to these 12, 15 guys in this room. I'm not listening to my brother, my cousin, my friend from Idaho. Like, I'm focused and locked in. And that's what, you know, LeBron James has been a voice of trust for. So when he's in a locker room, that's why his teams have done so well. Like, they trust what he says. And so now they don't go out and say, well, maybe I shouldn't be here. That, to me, is the first step of a winning culture, having a voice that you can trust.
Obviously, it starts at the very top. This is a league where ownership really matters. Mm-hmm. The commitment from ownership, the example set by ownership, not just what's said, but what's done obviously matters and how business is conducted. There have been recent reports locally here in Chicago that Jerry and Michael Reinsdorf are as close as they've ever been to considering some sort of restructuring of the front office. We don't know the depth or breadth of those plans. If right now you could name a guy to be president of basketball operations and given absolute full autonomy to remake the Bulls as he or she sees fit, who is that person, or who would a handful of those people be reasonably?
Could I change the question?
I don't know. I'm curious of the answer, though.
Because I'd like to change the question, because I say this. I know how powerful at times the voice of TNT and our job could be. And Charles and I, we vowed. So you would make me break a vow that he and I have.
Which is what?
That we would never say someone should get fired or replace them with someone when someone's there.
You're not saying that. You aren't saying that.
Yeah.
Because I can lawyer this. So
I'm telling you, this is my vow, because we said almost verbatim what you did like 8 years ago. The next day, the guy got fired. The next day. And so I was like,
you feel bad about it?
I did, because I was like, man, I didn't realize how. I said, Chuck, do you realize that was not on people's radar until we said it? He's like, yeah, I know. No one's paying attention. I said, yo, he got fired today. And he's like, what? And so for me, you know, while Paxson's there, I'm not going to say, I will say what needs to be done. And I could tell you what needs to be done.
But I know you know the name of somebody in an organization who's going to be the next person.
How about that? I know the answer what needs to be done by the names that need to be in there.
Okay, lay out.
Or even him.
All right, right now, in our theoretical world, you are that person. You have just been, you've got the Bulls in front of you. What do you need? I've got an unlimited budget. I can do whatever you need to do to get the Bulls back to contending to win titles.
Well, the first thing we have to know if Paxson actually has that autonomy to do that. He's got every resource that he needs. If he does, then now we're talking a different scenario. Okay. And so for him,
let's say
I think what now is, it's about, there's two ways to build a team. You got to build a team by free agency. And you said, when I walked in, what did you tell? Tell me what it said.
I said, I apologize for the weather, and I'm sick about what this is doing to the minds of potential free agents as they arrive and it's below zero.
Right, because of the snow and hard to get here and all of that. So now you say, can I build it that way through free agency, or I build it, and the first thing I would show everyone my championships, I'm like, you could be cold, but you're going to win. We've done that before. And then the other way, you know, because there's the Lakers and the Clippers who built it. Great free agents. These guys are. But the rest of the league builds it with a great eye for talent and a great player development. That's Milwaukee. That's Denver. That's Utah. Like, Donovan Mitchell is their best player. Like, Rudy Gobert is their best player. So you have to have people who have a great eye, or people who are around you with a great eye. So to me, there's two ways to build it. Am I a city that can attract the top guys and beg to be here? If I'm not that, then I'm going to have the best basketball acumen guys who are going to have their head down and not pay attention to the whispers. And so that, and at times you have to revitalize that, because like I said, the trends change in the league. So, like, now I need a guy who is probably a little closer to the millennial thought of view of the AAU system as well. I need someone in that realm, mm-hmm. because you got the LaMelo Balls coming into the league. You got the Zion Williamsons. You know, all of those guys, they come from a different mindset of basketball.
How does that manifest itself? What specifically rubber meets the road here? When you talk about that mindset, are they being coached differently?
No, both. They don't have a dream to play for the Bulls. They have a dream to play in the NBA. So they don't care if they leave your team.
Right.
They don't care at times to stay there. Like, that's not the number one priority for guys when they're reaching their free agency, is like, I'm going to stay where I started. That, because on AAU, they play on different teams. They play on different circuits. They play on the Adidas circuit, the Nike circuit. They play on Under Armour. They all these different things that they do. They don't – I see it firsthand every day. You know, I have AAU teams. It's different. The parents have a different mindset. Parents typically would be like, hey, how do you get my son to this university? The question is, how do you get my son to the league? It's a different mindset. Mm. You know, they're not thinking, like, my mom was like, look, you're going to go to college, and you're going to, if you don't graduate and if you don't get A's or B's in college, you're not going to get a car. No. There's that mindset is out of the window. And if you don't understand the dynamic.
Do we have the same parents?
Yeah, no, exactly. If you don't understand that dynamic of what's going on, you could just evaluate great talent and not understand the internal workings of how to make them motivated.
Talk with Kenny Smith, the TNT broadcast here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. You said, though, that one of the first things you do was show them the rings.
Yeah.
And let them know what won here.
Yeah.
Does that carry the same weight?
Yeah, championships win. Championships carry weight because you have to have them listen. Remember we talked, that was the first thing I said. They gotta have somebody they trust. And so when you walk in the arena and you see, you know, six championship trophies walking in, whoa, dude, I got to listen to you. I got to listen first. Now, I might not believe it, right, but I got to listen. And when I talk about Jordan and I talk about Pippen, those, you know, I'm still wearing Jordan sneakers. You know what I mean? Those kids, they understand meaning what he did, but they understand the magnitude of who he is.
So Pat Riley still matters in that regard.
Oh, without question. That's why Pat Riley does it in Miami, because he doesn't. I've heard a couple of good stories. I know Pat pretty well, but I've heard stories of when they come in free agency, even when he got LeBron, he never mentioned money. He only mentioned how he wins, how you're going to win a championship. Mm. Like, the whole meeting was about how you're going to win a championship, because if you're talking about money, and you're at that time the Miami Heat, it was a little bit different. So you got to talk about winning. You got to know what makes guys tick, and he has a good flow of millennials, older guys, straightforward. He has a good mixture of guys down there.
What's the most fun part of NBA All-Star Weekend that only you know about?
Ooh, the hotel lobbies.
Why?
Because it's like, before I was good at player, I was a fan. I was the kid who was chasing people down with autographs. I had every post of every thing. I wait outside of Madison Square Garden. Like, that was me. So it's like all of my trading cards are just walking around. They're like, you know, you see, oh, there's Dr. J. Oh, there's LeBron. Oh, there's Zach LaVine. Oh, it's just like a weird mix of like all of your trading cards. Yeah. Like, you know how you open your trading card and you go, oh, you're looking, oh, I got him. Oh, I really didn't want him, but I got him. And those people are walking right to you, and it's just like a fun experience because, you know, I'm a fan.
What's amazing, we learned this when we were for the days that we were spending eulogizing Kobe Bryant and talking about his legacy. Did you know that in the history of the MVP award, only Wilt Chamberlain, Moses Malone, and Kobe Bryant are no longer with us?
Wow.
Every other MVP is alive.
Wow.
Bob Pettit is whatever he is, 77, wow. Living in Baton Rouge. When you talk about it, it's literally like everyone, right. All of the greatest players of all time are here with us.
Right.
And think about that.
Wow. I mean, that makes the tragedy of Kobe go a little bit deeper for me. But, man, but that's what makes the lobby. You know, I like you said, you see the great players, they're some of them are in wheelchairs and some of them still jumping over wheelchairs, you know? So it's like, it's an unbelievable feeling, you know, to walk around. And, well, Bill Russell was my first coach too, as well. So, he and I have a different relationship, a really special relationship. You know, I get some of the weirdest texts from him.
Like what?
Just like, you know, he's so, like, socially conscious. And then at the same time, he's so vulgar.
Like in the next
text, he'll send a picture and it's a finger. Like, it's a finger. You know, he's telling me about this whole social consciousness thing, and then the next one will be a finger. It's like, I love him to death. But you'll see him, like, again, you'll see him just through the lobbies of the hotels, and he's calling you over, and he's like, he's getting on me. You know, and he watches the show like nightly, so it's fun. He still tweets, and he's still like, it's just great, man. That's the part that you miss. Like sitting at home, if you're not part of the weekend, the proximity of players and fans, and then even like celebrity, you know, because like, you know, Denzel's and Spike Lee's and Chris Rock's, and they're the fabric of the game as well, you know, and, you know, you see them so much, and then they're here, and they're just walking around, and they're, 2 years ago, literally, this happened to me. I'm sitting in the lobby. Dave Chappelle walks up to me. He's like, hey, what's up, Kenny? He's like, hey, Dave, what's going on, man? I've met him, but I don't know him. Met him at that time. He sat there for 2 hours, and he's just talking. He's talking basketball, then he's, you know, doing jokes, everything. I kid you not. It was his HBO special he did on me. In the freaking lobby.
No.
And me and a couple of friends, he was doing it, and I guess he was practicing.
He was workshopping it.
And he was working, and we're watching the show, and we're like, it's just HBO. We saw it in the middle of the lobby. My nephew was like, that's the same jokes. And he's like, yeah, I said he was trying it out on us. Like, how that's the type of stuff that happens at All-Star Weekend.
That's pretty special stuff.
Awesome.
Awesome. Oh, I did do one special thing that to look out for. I did a tribute to Kobe, and I took all of his iconic pictures, and I recreated them with celebrities. And so I had Ice Cube and O'Shea, his son, Snoop. I got Common here from Chicago, Amanda Seals, and we recreated some of his iconic photos, and it's going to be shown.
Oh, that's cool.
It's on the broadcast this weekend?
Yeah, and we did a whole special about it.
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
I'm like a $5 photographer with a $10 budget. So the photos look great, but, because I got a $10 budget.
That was Kenny the Jet Smith, who was in studio with us yesterday, just hanging out. Really, just a highlight so far of All-Star Weekend. It is getting underway here. And we should mention, if you want to dive right into All-Star Weekend this afternoon, you can. You should join David Haw, Matt Spiegel, and Kendall Gill for an NBA All-Star broadcast. It's going to be at Bandit. It's 841 West Randolph in Chicago from 2 to 6 p.m. You can watch the live show. You can enjoy Budweiser specials. You can enter for a chance to win tickets to the All-Star Skills Challenge with a three-point and slam dunk contest. It's brought to you by Budweiser. This Bud's for the home team.
Nice.
We have two more entries in the 2020 Charity Poker Championship to give away. That's going to be on February 27th, and we're going to give these away. Two more today. There's going to be some more in the days to come. If you want to be a part of our big charity poker events, you got to be listening for that. Kenny Smith wasn't the only former All-Star guard who was on these airwaves yesterday.
Nah, people are in town for the All-Star game, and Nick Shipkowski and Mark Grody were pinch hitting for Mack and Parkins yesterday. They had Derrick Rose on the show. Thought a couple interesting things came up. We'll bring them back for you when we come back. It's Bernstein and McKnight, 670 The Score.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Derek, have you ever thought about what it might be like one day if your jersey number one was hung in the UC?
You know what? I haven't really thought about it, but the more people ask that question, yes, it does come to my mind, but it's really not up to me. That's something that you would probably have to ask Reinsdorf, Gar, and Pax, you know what I mean?
Derek Rose. Not that often you hear his voice on the Score airwaves, but there he was. He was actually, amazingly, a couple things happened yesterday. He has it's a book that he was signing?
Yes.
That he wrote?
Yes, in his own words. He wrote it down. He's very proud of the book. He's very happy with it. I listened to the interview with Nick Shepkowski and Mark Grody yesterday. They were pinch hitting for Mack and Parkins. It was a really fun show to listen to. But the line to go see Derrick Rose, it was down here in the...
That's the story.
In the Pedway.
That's the story. A couple stories. First of all, that they were in the Pedway down here, right underneath this building.
The Macy's, you know, you walk through the Pedway and you see the bookstore that's in the Macy's. There's the children's area right there next to the windows that you walk by with all the little chairs and stuff. And it's a really cute little area down there for kids to go read books.
Yeah, in the Macy's.
In the Macy's. I'm talking about in the Macy's.
Correct.
The Pedway can be, you know, hit or miss sometimes.
You're being way too kind.
Well, I walk it every day, so.
And that particular stretch of Pedway is a urinal.
It can get dicey. Yeah, it can get dicey. But it's been really nice the last couple of days.
They apparently mopped it.
Power washed it.
They apparently power washed it. They mopped it. They cleaned it up because that is a Chicago urinal.
But there was, I mean, if you look on the Instagram, you just go check out Derek's or just, you know, search the whatever the hashtag was for the event, the line is all the way. I mean, it's through the building. It's out the building. It's in the Pedway. There are a couple different ways to entrance the thing. It's out the people standing outside.
The phenomenon yesterday. Of that. And I've thought about that there will always be, no matter what. And I have ran into it over the years that if you dared criticize Derrick Rose for anything, his people would come out for you. His people would be there and would always have thoughts for you. So he can do anything. I mean, Derrick Rose, really, even after that lurid sex assault trial and everything, even everything and all the details in that, and not understanding consent and the sex belt and all of that and all the injuries, that I don't think that connection's ever going away.
No, he is a favorite son to many, many people. This is a connection that lasts. I don't know if his number is going to go into the rafters or the Raptors. I don't know. But I don't think it would be. You could fill up the United Center for that ceremony, couldn't you? I mean, don't you think the love and the kind of, I don't know, connection, I guess, to Derrick Rose exists to celebrate that kind of thing? Because I think it does. I think you saw it yesterday. And whether he ends his career in the next handful of years or whether he's got a lot longer to go, I don't know. But
it's
that
indelible.
Connection is unseverable.
It is absolutely indelible for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. His having come from here and having achieved whatever you believe he achieved. There are certain things that I can't get over. I can't get over that game against Cleveland when he and Jimmy Butler had an on-court snit that involved both of them just quitting.
Passing the ball back and forth at the top.
You take it. No, you take it. You want to be the guy? You be the guy. That was awful. They quit on you in a playoff game because they couldn't get past it, and there was nobody in a position there to get them past it, and I'll never forget that. That sticks with me more than the sex belt.
He's got a complicated basketball legacy, I suppose. Yes, that's true. I'll never forget the dunk over Dragic. I mean, I remember where I was when I watched it. I remember cutting the tape for NBC Sports Chicago or Comcast at the time. I mean, it was huge. It was then Stacey's call on the thing is amazing. That is your point guard, Neil Funk. You know, like everybody knows that call. It's complicated, right? And there's back and forth to it. But I think, I don't know, as a fan base, aren't Bulls fans used to celebrating complicated legacies? I mean, is Michael Jordan's legacy not somewhat complicated?
But that's so much. You're talking about a guy who's his own planet.
Of course.
I mean,
come on. But shouldn't that make the acknowledgement of the complexity that much more meaningful? I mean, the understanding that guy, he spent 2 years away from the league and came back. He has his own, you know, personal issues that happened throughout his career.
And then he
good and bad
played for another team, and then was an owner of yet another team.
If you asked Bulls fans whether they do or don't remember Michael Jordan with the Wizards, I think you'd get a pretty even 50-50 split of people who go, "Yeah, it was fine. I remember it," and then the other half saying, "It never happened. I don't remember it happening. I was on that team. I wasn't part of it." You know what I mean? Like that, I think you'd get an even split of people just completely forgetting it and ethering it out of their brain.
With neuralizing it?
Yeah.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. At tomorrow night's home game, the first 500 couples to enter Allstate Arena receive a box of Fannie Mae chocolates and a beautiful rose. For tickets, visit chicagowolves.com. Here's a really interesting thought from the 815, responding to what was said by Kenny Smith. So, you know, something just clicked with me in regards to the Bulls. Kenny Smith said that current and future NBA players don't care as much who they play for. They just care about being in the league. Contrast that with Jim Boylan, who says it's about playing for the Bulls across the chest.
Yeah.
He said, this demonstrates to me the disconnect between the Bulls and the modern NBA and their inability to relate.
That's an interesting point.
I think that's you know, well taken.
Yeah, it is. I think it's worth drawing up the difference between the two. But I think Kenny was talking about guys trying to get into the league, right? I mean, that it was no longer an approach of how do I play in college, get me into the right school, you know, from AAU, from those youth leagues to college. And I think, you know, we were talking earlier about Albert Almora and his, you know, lack of preparation, lack of pregame stuff that he'd been talking about yesterday. And a couple of texts had popped in. Oh, let's not make this a generational thing. And I don't think it is a generational thing there. I mean, you go back, look at the 80s Mets, right? 86 Mets. You got plenty of guys in that generation who weren't day of game type kind of dudes. You know what I'm saying?
Different time.
Of course it was. But in every generation, you have players who just kind of rolled up there and played ball and went home because their gifts and their natural ability got you there.
One of them was just on the score, Mark Grace.
You know, that happens, man. I mean, in every generation, that's not endemic to just millennials or Gen Z or Gen X or whatever we're calling the next one. I can't remember. It's not. You have those kind of differences between athletes. And I think when you talk about the difference in mindset that Kenny Smith was talking about as it applies to the AAU and get me into the league, I think that's because more and more we're looking at college basketball and going,
why are we bothering?
Point?
Yeah.
What's the point of this?
Well,
whether you've got a scandal in Arizona with DeAndre Ayton and how that whole thing was covered and dismissed and covered again, and just all this stuff about whether the money is there or not there, and that it's under the table makes it okay as long as you don't find out about it. I mean, it's nonsense is what it is. I think guys are looking more and more at the college basketball going, there is really no point to this other than making sure I'm at the right place to get to the league.
And people, important people in college basketball, understand that. There was a Yahoo story several days ago with Mike Krzyzewski lamenting just how close college basketball is to an inflection point, how close they are to becoming college baseball. And when you see the number of players who leave who not only aren't at the in the lottery, it used to be like you get your report, you know, you go through the clearinghouse or whatever, the NBA files a report on you. It used to be, well, I'm not going to be a lottery pick, so I'm going to come back.
Sure.
Then it's like, well, a first rounder. I just want to be a first rounder, get my 3-year guarantee and the option on there. Then it is get drafted at all. Now you've got guys leaving just because they want to leave. And you have the NBA shoring up the G League. Don't look now, but they're making more and more investment in what's going on, understanding that they're scouting other places to expand the G League.
I think that's absolutely right, and I think the investment is notable. I wonder whether that league truly comes online by the time the one and done. You know, I mean, you're going to have this weird generational gap once the one and done is over, and this, you know, will that league, will that G League be prepared to take in some of that talent that would have otherwise been, I don't know, late second round, I guess, or I don't know, there isn't a third round, but that kind of third round of NBA draft talent.
Or you're talking about the G League having to be there for the number two overall pick because he's 18 years old and isn't ready to play in the NBA. You know, when the G League is used ideally, it's not just guys who can't make the NBA. It's developmental.
Interesting.
You're actually going to have, just like your baseball first round pick. You know, Andrew Vaughn is a top three pick of the White Sox. Everybody thinks the guy's going to be terrific.
Yeah.
He's not ready for the major leagues yet. He's not. And when you get rid of the one and dones, instead of having some kid, some gangly kid on the end of a bench, you know, putting the game, not knowing what he's doing, and you get the guy with your coaches, with your philosophies, playing the position he's going to play, understanding your offense, and that's when you're doing it correctly.
I am not looking forward to the service time discussions that are going to come with an 18 or 19-year-old player being stuck in a G League somewhere, and a team goes, oh, you know, we could use one more of these. We could, of the top draft picks, next year would be great to land in the lottery again. Maybe we just keep this kid down
in
the Windy City Bulls or out in Pocatello, Idaho, or whatever the hell you want to have him, and not bring him up to the big leagues. I already despise that conversation in baseball. I don't want to have that in the NBA, especially because that league, the NBA, feels like the league where 18 and 19-year-old players can find a place. I don't, you know, we talked a lot about Kobe over the last couple of weeks, obviously because of the tragedy that occurred here, but his rookie season wasn't good. In his first year was, you saw flashes, of course, and he's Kobe Dan Bryant after all. People were looking at that first year where he's undersized and hasn't gotten into a weight room and all that stuff and going, man, this was a gutsy move by the Lakers to take this kid and throw him in there right away. Second season, obviously, he kind of dispels all of that, but it feels like that's the league where you get to see that type of player, that young player, evolve while playing big league ball, while playing association ball. And that's fun. That you don't get that other places.
Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry at the same time. You remember that happened right here.
Yeah.
And you said, look how raw. Look at the absolute raw ability. Tyson Chandler could not catch. He could run.
Breadboards for hands.
He could jump. It was like trying to catch with chopsticks.
Yeah.
He couldn't catch. And eventually, the guy became, look at the arc of his career. He's still on a bench, right?
Houston.
Yeah, he's on the bench at Houston. Look at his career. He's got a title. He's got a Defensive Player of the Year award.
Right.
He's had an unbelievable career, and maybe not exactly quite the size and shape that we thought it would be. But ultimately, you got to say that's a success story. That, you know, he's an old head now. He's a gray beard.
Well, it also opens up the opportunity for the good organizations out there to, when they have late first round picks, take swings. You could take a swing on a higher upside 18-year-old, 19-year-old that maybe a team in the mid-20s that's trying to push themselves into the playoffs could do. I mean, you're already seeing some of the success stories where Pascal Siakam this year is the first guy that's played in the G League for anything more than like rehab purposes.
To start an all-star
game. Now, he's older. It's not like he's doing this young, but he's like 27.
I think he's 27. I believe. Right. I was just looking at the other
day. So that's the first of those instances, and there's more and more. Like, you look even just at that organization of how many undrafted or second-round guys they're able to develop and keep cheap in role as role players and keep so that they can pay for their real guys. That's something they've been able to do, and that's what teams like Miami is doing. That's what your best organizations are able to do, because there's still only two teams left that don't have a G League affiliate of their own. So, like, when they talk, I know when they talk about expansion right now, it's to get Denver and get Portland their own teams, even when they don't necessarily want them themselves.
Yeah, I've always had an issue with asking college coaches to develop my professionals, because it's a different game. The jobs are different.
The incentives are different.
And what they're being asked to do is different. Ideally, at the youngest age they're allowed to do it, you get those guys learning what their job is going to be. Instead of a guy who's 6'11" and they're asking him to stand next to the basket, you have a guy who's 6'11" who's actually practicing shooting three-pointers and right. moving around and doing what you're doing at the pro level.
That's DeAndre Ayton to a certain degree.
I called DeAndre Ayton, by the way.
Yeah.
I told that's one
he's not a bad player.
He's not a bad player, but he's got a bad motivator on him. It's just one of these guys that if you're the biggest, baddest dude out there, you know, that you want to just – you never saw him own a game because he was DeAndre Ayton. You saw him accrue numbers. Oh, nice. He had 19 and 11. But you never saw him like, holy crap. Like the Zion Williamson stuff where he just exerted a gravity on the game. And, yeah, he's going to make a lot of money.
Of course he is. He's 21, and he's 6'11". Of course he's going to make a lot of money.
Midday Midway is coming up. I have a threat to the planet, like an actual
Perfect.
Legit threat to the planet.
Good.
I also have a surprise inside a vegetable. That was new to me. I've never seen this before. It's pretty cool.
I hope this doesn't come from Florida, because if there was a surprise inside a vegetable in Florida, it was a gun.
It comes from Canada.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't think it's. And when we come back, we're also going to give away another entry into the 2020 Charity Poker Championship for February 27th. We've got two more for the show. One of them is going to be given away next. It's the Midday Midway on The Score.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
We started the show by playing some sound from Albert Almora, where yesterday he said that he didn't do the work last year. He didn't prepare. He wasn't in a good mental place. And he came out and said it. He also did not pin any of his issues on the incident in Houston with the foul ball. And he took ownership of it. This is 2 years in a row. It was Wilson Contreras last year, Albert Almora this year. Important players admitting that they weren't properly prepared to do their jobs. And we're more than speculating that this has something to do with why you've got a new manager here, frankly.
Yes.
Talked a lot about the horrible day the Astros had yesterday at every level of their organization, how they do not get to declare that they are moving on, that this is just over. It is very, very far from over. And the Astros have to understand that they're the new Lance Armstrong. And you're going to have to deal with it, because that's who you are, and you can't just declare that you're not.
We'll circle back to that conversation in the 11 o'clock hour, because Dallas Keuchel, former Astro, talked a bit from Sox camp about it, too. You'll hear that today.
We replayed some Kenny Smith, and we revisited Derek Rose's appearance on The Score yesterday in conjunction with his book signing. And just it's just amazing how many fans he still has in this town.
I have amazing news for those of you who play MLB The Show even a little bit. But if you play it as much as I do, as much as Jay Zawoski does, this is awesome news. The video came out. The release is out. The game comes out middle of March, March 17, I think it is. But what they're doing...
If you pre-order, you get it early.
Pre-order, you get a couple of days early?
That's a trick.
I'm going to pre-order it. What's happening for the very first time, call your sons, call your daughter. Dan, this includes you. They're going to have each and every minor leaguer in the game when it launches.
Wow.
This is
like every affiliated down into extended spring training?
Yep. I'm sure they'll get some wrong because they won't have assignments by the time that the game comes out. They'll probably you'll probably have to futz around and move some people and whatnot. But you'll have... So what this means, you'll have Luis Robert in the game when it starts. Because he hasn't played a major league game. And in the past, you would have had to wait till the next Tuesday. You know, opening day, you got to wait till that next Tuesday because that's when EA Sports updates the rosters to get your big-time players in. The stud prospects, the guys making their debuts.
Well, actually, sorry to mansplain to you with the actually there.
Feel free.
But they could not put them in the game until they appeared in a major league game. But what they would do is people in the community would create their own rosters and full minors. Now they're just giving it to you.
Now they're just handing it over.
Yep.
Which is super cool. And you're going to have all that stuff to play. Because if you play the franchise mode like I do and you sim all the way to 2045 or something, and basically they're just all robots in the game anyway by the time you get to 2040, it's awesome. It's a ton of fun.
Do the minor leaguers get compensated for the use of their likeness?
I knew you were going to ask that, and that is the next thing to bring up here. No.
Then I'm not real happy about it. Well, I'm less than thrilled.
So here's the thing. What's happening...
Can they eat?
The workaround here... is that this is it's not EA Sports, although it kind of is, and it's not baseball, although it kind of is. This is a bunch of third party who are going in there and putting the names in manually, then releasing it day of.
Is it just names, or is also likenesses, motion capture?
Likenesses, too.
Yeah, likenesses, but it's going to be, it's unclear as to how closely that's all going to mirror in terms of skill sets, and I would imagine pretty close, because that's the effort here. There were, when this news got announced just a day or two ago, a bunch of minor leaguers who tweeted, where's my check? Let's have the money. Let's see the cash, all that kind of stuff, which is 1,000% fair. And they ought to get cash. And I'll go so far as to say, Jay, I don't know if you're with this too, I'd pay the extra $10.
Of course.
For that stuff to get to those guys. Because I would prefer them to have more than just a peanut butter sandwich off the folding table when they're traveling back and forth on 7-hour bus rides and trying to make their dreams happen. I'm fine with that. I have no problem paying extra for that. But that's not the case yet. And hopefully with the new CBA in baseball, it helps cover things like this so players can be paid for their actual likenesses in video games, even if they are in the minor leagues.
How about this? How about the company? It is Sony, by the way, that makes this game.
Yeah.
Some of the downloadable content money they make on this game, how about they just give it to the minor leaguers? You got to find a way.
That'll happen. They'll just give it to them.
Well, I mean, there's got to be a way to work it out. EA, which is a different company, made $1.2 billion in downloadable content in 2017. That's aside from the initial purchase point of the game. That's people buying jerseys and players and whatever, maps, whatever you got to buy in a game. $1.2 billion in that alone. Come on.
The segment's brought to you by the all-new Super Duper Slam, just $6.99 at Denny's. Introducing the Denny's Super Duper Slam. Bacon, sausage, eggs, hash browns, and all-you-can-eat pancakes for just $6.99. The deal's so super, they just had to add a duper. For limited time, price may vary. See you at Denny's. NASA has confirmed that an asteroid larger than the tallest man-made structure in the world is currently traveling toward Earth at a speed of almost 34,000 miles per hour. This is from the NASA Center for Near Earth Object Studies, identified a potentially hazardous asteroid. The colossal space rock is large enough to potentially trigger a nuclear winter and mass extinction events should it collide with Earth.
Wait, how would there be mass extinction events? If it's a mass extinction event, it's a mass extinction event.
I'm not quibbling with NASA. They must have a reason why there's more than one mass extinction
event.
There's one.
Right,
like you live through the first, and you're like, oh, great.
Sorry.
Another? However, they do think that it's likely to miss us by just a few million miles. It sounds like a lot, but yeah, the diameter is estimated around 3,250 feet. But it's expected to pass over the planet from a distance of around 3.6 million miles. So far, so good. I don't know if you're rooting for it to hit or miss.
It kind of depends on how the next couple of weeks go for me. So I don't know who commissions this study or why, but a new survey out found that 41% of respondents have risked their safety in pursuit of a selfie. and even more than half.
How do
of
they
the
define
respondents.
That? It's not leaning out over a building.
I'll
if you're
there.
Close to a road
I'll
or something,
get
right?
there. More than half would stand on the edge of a cliff for the ideal selfie. A third of respondents have visited a destination purely to digitally capture the scene, and 4% admitted to endangering someone else for the sake of a good snapshot. It found
cool,
that testosterone fueled idiots. It found that testosterone fueled men are more likely to take risks than women. I think that's editorial, but
and are more likely to take whisks.
61% of males accepting the challenge of a cliff edge photo. 38% of females. More than 1 in 10, 11% of respondents have sustained injuries while attempting a selfie. And it found that 259 people worldwide died in 137 selfie-related accidents between 2011 and 2017.
Good.
50 people were killed over that same span by sharks. That means that selfies have claimed far more people, 200 more people
how many
than
of the,
sharks.
How many of the selfie incidents resulted in death by shark?
Three.
Right?
Three total. So you know, it's the middle of that Venn diagram. You don't want to be in that middle.
I take you to Saguenay, Canada, where a couple got quite the shock this weekend when they cut into a green pepper they had purchased in a local grocery store.
It's like a regular bell.
A regular green pepper, a bell pepper. And they cut into it, and inside was, any guesses?
A hockey puck.
Winner.
We found it.
A live
badger. Wow.
Snake is a guess. Remember, this is an intact green pepper.
Can't Danny DeVito.
This is like one of those wrong answers only tweets.
We've had snake, badger,
hockey puck,
penis, Danny DeVito.
The last two are kind of redundant.
Right. Okay, now the answer is a live frog.
Okay.
But how
Wait,
is this?
Like a live
okay,
frog.
Again, a live frog. This is a sealed,
yeah,
grown
mm-hmm.
pepper.
Right.
They open the pepper. There's a frog in it.
Okay.
There's a picture right here.
So that, okay, I'll look, hold on. Well,
yeah, okay. It's a frog.
It's a frog.
It's a sweater. So how the hell? Is there a frog egg?
Well, they fly them over.
A frog egg that somehow gets into developing pepper.
A tadpole gets into it.
And it has enough, has enough nutrients, has enough water and enough, it eats the seeds.
How do we grow peppers? Are peppers grown just like normally? Are they grown in water like rice or something? I don't know. I'm just double checking facts here.
Peter Piper picked a pack of peppers.
Catholic, we didn't learn that one. That was a sin. Too many peas in that rhyme.
It's considered the work of the devil.
Yeah, no, that one's no good. Can't have that one in class.
Okay, I know, but this is amazing to me. They don't know what happened.
Well, I don't know how you grow a pepper, so
and
I get it.
They've had to turn it over to the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, and
hey,
I imagine
this is weird, eh?
They obviously arrive on horseback in full, you know, Class A uniform, right? So they put the little amphibian and a pepper in the pepper in a container, and ministry officials and members of ministry, actually. Al Jorgensen is coming over to examine the frog. And that's a weird one.
Was it eating the pepper? Were there signs of the frog having eaten the pepper?
It had
from
to be
inside?
Eating something. How else is it going to
I don't know.
Get sustenance?
How long does a frog need? I mean, can it go for a while turning from a tadpole into a frog without sustenance? Does the
no,
whatever sack that it's in feed itself?
Sack! I don't know.
I think it's pretty clear that this show lacks functional knowledge of both the growth of bell peppers and the gestation periods of frogs. That's a pretty blind spot for us. I think Parkins knows a lot about it, though.
But he thinks it's a spider.
Yeah.
All right, give me a number, please.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Caller 7 to the contest line. If you are a caller who can play in our event on February 27th, you will win an entry to the 2020 Charity Poker Championship at Galleria Marchetti in Chicago. All proceeds benefit Camp One Step by Children's Oncology Services. Compete for nearly $15,000 in prizes, including the grand prize, a seat in the 2020 World Series of Poker main event in Las Vegas. You want more details or you want to get registered, visit camponestep.org. We have another one to give away between now and the end of the show. And don't like win it, be like, oh yeah, when is tournament? I can't go.
Because it's
a charity event, and we want you to be able to go and be a part of it and do all your rebuys and all that so we can send kids with cancer to Camp One Step and all of our programs.
We're going to talk about hoops when we come back. Rick Fox, former Laker, our next guest. It's Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.